There's a wonderful song in our songbook titled, "Ye Are the Light of the World." And I thought that this evening we'd talk about the lyrics of that song a little bit. They align very closely with Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. And so let's turn there and let's read these verses, and then we'll talk about the lyrics of this song as we think about being the light of the world. Jesus said here in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus is talking about how we conduct our lives. We are to be lights. We are to be shining examples of truth and goodness to other people. And this song, "Ye Are the Light of the World," is a song that encourages us to do that. "O Christian, do not hide your light, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world." The second stanza says, "Go show to all the path of right, for ye are the light of the world. Go bring the straying back to light, for ye are the light of the world." And then finally in the third stanza, "Oh, do not let your light burn low, for ye are the light of the world, but keep it bright and onward go, for ye are the light of the world." And then the chorus chimes in each time with, "For ye are the light of the world, for ye are the light of the world. So keep your lamps all burning bright, for ye are the light of the world." And these are some good thoughts to consider as we think about what Jesus said here in this first stanza. "O Christian, do not hide your light, for you're the light of the world." We recognize that hiding our light would be very detrimental to those who are around us. Lights are intended to illuminate dark places. And if you put a basket over your light or some kind of cover over your light, it defeats the whole purpose of having a light. Because the light is intended to light up the room so that you can see where you're going. I don't know about you. Maybe your house is crystal clear of things on the floor. I don't know. But ours isn't necessarily all the time. We try to keep essential paths clear. But you know, sometimes you're walking along at night. Maybe you need to get up for some reason. And you step on something. Why? Because you don't have any light to see. And you know, our cell phones are so handy now because they have flashlights in them. And you can turn the flashlight on and see where you're going at night. And what in the world did we do before we got those? I don't know. But it sure helps to have some light when you are walking at night. Well, that's the point here, is that light illuminates. It makes it clear what the right path is so that you don't trip or fall or get hurt or do something that would be detrimental to you. And of course, what Jesus is talking about here is being a good example toward others, having a moral light within our life, if you will. You know, I'm not like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I can't punch my nose and light up things, right? But I am a Christian who lives my life in a particular way. And when I live my life in that way, other people can see my example. They can see my deeds. They can hear my words. And then they can think about how they ought to live their lives also. In Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." And so we shine as lights in the world in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. There is so much evil out there, and it doesn't take people long to discern between who is doing right and who is doing wrong. We must not hide our light, but rather go out there and let it shine before others. But to not hide our light, we've got to abstain from some things. If we simply go out and live like the world lives, well, we're not drawing a strong contrast between ourselves and the world. And people are going to think, well, that's just another worldling. They live just like I do. There's no light there at all. We've got to refrain from participating in worldly activities. Doing those things actually hides our light, because people will not see the difference between us and others. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, "Abstain from every form of evil." Peter wrote, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by their good works which they observe," or by your good works which they observe, "glorify God in the day of visitation." So Peter is saying, look, as a Christian, going out there and living the Christian life and letting your light shine, it's certainly going to illuminate the darkness that is around you. And those who are living in darkness are going to make accusations against you. But even if they do that, you should be conducting yourself in such a way that they will see your good works. And ultimately, when Christ returns, they're not going to have any just cause against you. And that will then glorify God. And so we must not associate with these sinful elements of the world. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" In other words, don't get yourself into a bad situation with someone who is not a Christian, and you end up getting blamed for the same things they do. That's what he's talking about there. And that happens. People get involved with things not intending to be part of some evil plot or scheme or situation, and yet then, by association, they are condemned. That's why we read in Ephesians 5 and 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Expose them. And so we need to make sure that we're being the light of the world and we're not hiding our light. But then secondly, we need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. Go show to all the path of right, for ye are the light of the world. Go bring the straying back to light, for ye are the light of the world. Our being a light to this world begins with our thoughts. We must have good thoughts if we are going to be a source of light to others. If our heart is tainted, if our heart is corrupted, then our actions are going to be corrupted. Our words are going to be corrupted. And so we need to keep our heart with all diligence, as Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says. For out of it, out of our heart, springs the issues of life. The issues of life. The word issue there is talking about what comes out of something, an issue, right? When you see an issue of water, you might think of a spring. It issues water, right? And we think of the word issue in terms of publications today. And you see an issue of a newspaper. Why is it called that? Because the newspaper is putting it out. Putting it out. That's what an issue is, something that is put out. And so the issue of life is what we put out in our lives, right? That's what it is. And we don't want to put something out in our life that is wrong or sinful or gives a bad example or says a word that we shouldn't be saying. But we've got to check it in our hearts. Keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Sometimes people will say, as they are talking throughout the day, they will say something, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." But you had to think it before you said it. "Oh, I didn't mean to do that." You had to think about it before you did it. Well, what is in our heart? Philippians 4 and verse 8 tells us that what's in our heart is very important and that we need to be thinking about what is there. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If we're thinking about good things in our heart, there's not going to be a lot of room for evil to be there. The heart is where the battle is. It's where the battle begins. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. He says, there is the place where we must cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought needs to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is a high standard, but nevertheless, it is what God desires. We start with good thoughts. Next, we must have good words. Matthew 23, 36 through 37, Jesus says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so our words need to be good words, honest words, healthful words, words that encourage, words that tell the truth. These are the kind of words we need to be speaking. James said in James 3 and verse 10 about some who were not using their tongues correctly. He said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Let's not use our mouth for blessing on one side and then for cursing on the other. That is not what God wants. But rather, our words should be words that will give grace to the hearer. And then our deeds, our works need to be good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As Brother Jim said this morning, we can never do enough good works to get into heaven. That would be earning our salvation, and we do not earn our salvation. But that does not mean that we must not, that we don't have to do any works. Of course, we must do good works. We do good works because they're good, because God is good, because Christ is good, and we want to follow his example. And we want to live for him. Titus 3 and verse 14 says that Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Yes, we should be zealous for good works. But not with the idea that we think, when I do this good work, I'm earning one more slot closer to heaven. That's not right. That's not right. We cannot earn our salvation, but yet we must do good works. Because while we cannot earn our salvation, we can certainly earn condemnation. And that's something we should think about. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Go show to all the path of right, for ye are the light of the world. And the last stanza says this, "Oh, do not let your light burn low, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it bright and onward go, for ye are the light of the world." Don't let your light burn low. We want our lights to be bright and shining and radiant so that everyone can see who we are as children of God. We should be, and I hope I'm using this word correctly here, but we should be proud to be God's children. Not in a sinful sense, not pride in the human sense of trying to be something that you're not. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the idea of not being ashamed. And a lot of times, we can be ashamed of something just a little bit, and it holds us back. That's the opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do. Glorify your Father in heaven. Don't let your light burn low. Keep it trimmed and burning bright. For you're the light of the world. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Does the concept of glorifying God in your body and in your spirit mean holding back? I don't think that those two things go together. Glorifying God means giving praises to God. It means being bold. It means going out there and letting others know that you're a Christian, you're a child of God, and you're going to be proud of Jesus Christ and proud of His teaching, proud of the Bible, proud of the Word of God. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 1, 16 and 17. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. We've got to glorify God, and we've got to magnify Jesus Christ. I remember when I was in high school, they gave us the option of taking chemistry or biology. And chemistry just did not sound interesting to me at all. But biology was something that I was interested in. They told us, "You might be able to dissect a frog." Wow, now that's interesting to me. And so I went into the biology classroom and started studying biology. And one of the things that they did was we went out and we got a little pond water. We brought that pond water back into the biology classroom and we stuck it between two little pieces of glass. Smushed it real good. And then we put it under a microscope. And, you know, to the naked eye, it just looked like a smear of water. But when you put it under that microscope, wow, there's a whole world of things living in that pond water. Amoebas and protozoas and I don't know what else. Those are the only two I remember. But I'm sure there's a lot. And they were everywhere, you know, just darting here and darting there and one thing after another. And wow, what is that? It really looked like something when it was magnified. When it was magnified. How do we magnify Jesus Christ? By making Him bigger in our lives. We've got to magnify Jesus Christ. Acts 19 and verse 16. "This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." More people heard about it, and they heard how great it was to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We've got to magnify Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and verse 20, Paul said, "That according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Do people see Jesus Christ living in our life? If they do, that's great. But then answer this second question. Do people see Jesus Christ magnified in our lives? There's a different level that we could all work on together. Glorify God, magnify Jesus Christ, and be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verses 13 through 14 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? First of all, it means not to let the flesh control your life. Not to just give in to fleshly appetites, fleshly desires, fleshly concerns, and be controlled by that all your life. But rather, let God's Spirit lead you. How does God's Spirit lead us? By instructing us through the Word of God. We're not talking about, I feel the Holy Spirit leading me over here, and woo, I just got to go that direction. Or I feel Him leading me over here, and I got to go that direction. That's not what we're talking about. That's actually fleshly desires leading you. That's not the Holy Spirit leading you. If you let your emotions control your life like that, you are just letting the flesh control you. The Spirit of God leads us by the Word of God. That's how the Spirit leads us. Look it up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read about it. How Paul had the Spirit, not of the world, but of God. And what did he do? He knew the mind of God because it was revealed to him through the Spirit. And then what did he do? He spoke it in words so that you could hear it and you could read it. That's how the Spirit leads us. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 and verse 16. So how important is it to hear God's Word? It's so important. Because that's how the Spirit leads us today. Oh, do not let your light burn low, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it bright, and onward go, for ye are the light of the world. Great encouragement in this wonderful song that we have in our songbooks. Let's keep our light trimmed and burning bright. We don't even hardly know what it means to trim our lights anymore, do we? But you know, back in olden times, those lights had wicks. And those wicks on the end got a little frayed. And when those wicks got frayed and spread out, the light didn't quite burn as brightly. But if they would take a knife or a pair of scissors and go in there and trim those wicks so they were nice and tight together, and that the oil could come up through the wick or the string or whatever it was that you had in your oil lamp, it come up nice and even, smooth, then that light would be bright. It would be strong, and it would give light to all the house. Are we going to let our light so shine so as to glorify God? Let's let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Maybe you need to start letting your light shine for Jesus Christ today. Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? If you're not, you can become one this very hour. Magnify Jesus Christ in your body by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sin. There's nothing greater that you could do this hour, if you're not a Christian, to magnify Jesus Christ than to be baptized and identify with Him. And maybe you need to do that. Or maybe you're a Christian, but your wick has gotten frayed, and you need to trim it up a little bit. Well, we can help you with that by listening to God's Word, studying together, working on things, helping us improve, taking that light out from under the basket and letting it shine for others to see. That's what we want. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants. And you can make some changes right now in your life to do that. If you have a need this evening for prayer, or you want to become a child of God, we're ready to help you, and you can come do that right now while together we stand and while we sing.